Welcome to Lost in Theaters, the podcast about movies that have slipped through the cracks of pop culture. My name is Rachel, and I'm here.
And with... my name is Ruth. No! You know, I thought maybe just for once I could get my own name in.
Oh, it's true. I feel like you should do that. Get your own thoughts and your own
What name. Number episode is this?
This is episode 2 of season 2. Full disclosure,
what are we disclosing?
It's been a while since I've watched the movie.
Oh.
I watched this last Sunday and we're
this
recording
is a special edition
on Saturday, but here's the thing, Ruth.
Yes.
Again, full disclosure, this movie was my jam.
Like Space Jam?
No, which Space Jam is my jam. You're correct. Space Jam ranks in my top 10 favorite movies of all time. But this movie
makes me so happy.
This movie is similar to Space Jam in the reason that I like it. And it's just
the animation.
No. No, I'm kidding. Well, the animation was stellar. Well, it wasn't stellar.
Stellar.
The animation was okay. Da-da-da-da. It was more like the absolute madhouse of combination storytelling. What? Where you start somewhere in a story and you get used to whatever's being done.
Yeah.
And then you end up somewhere else and you think, how did I get here? Wow. Like, this is my kind of story.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much summed up when I was once asked where my favorite place in the whole world was. And I said, in Universal Studios, there is this special place in the park where you're just between Hogsmeade and Jurassic Park. And that's my favorite place in the whole world.
I cannot picture this.
You're right between Hogsmeade.
I've been here.
And it's snowy and beautiful.
Yes!
And you're right between Jurassic Park, and it's a forest.
I can picture
And there's
this.
Dinosaurs, and you're just, it's just a glorious place.
The wood between the worlds.
Oh my gosh, it's the wood between the worlds. No, it's, I mean, yeah.
Just add a couple guinea pigs.
those poor guinea pigs.
We are referencing
The Magician's Lewis. Nephew. Yeah. Read some Magician's Nephew, folks. It's a little trippy. So this movie is called The Time Machine. And it came out in 2002. Horrifying realization about my own age in 2002.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
Guess.
6?
Nope.
4?
No.
3?
No.
Oh, wait.
You can do
3?
No.
2?
2. I was probably 2 when it came out. It was supposed to come out in 2001, but there was a scene that they decided, because of actually the events of 9/11, they decided to delay the release and they cut out that footage as well.
What was this scene?
I know. We'll discuss it when it...
That's concerning.
When we get there. We'll see. Actually... It's not that concerning. Ruth, I didn't know where this movie was going to go. I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
It was a DreamWorks production, which I also didn't see coming from DreamWorks, this film.
Yeah.
It stars a fellow named Guy Pearce, who I think people know.
Guy Fieri?
No.
I don't actually know who that is.
He's a chef. He's got spiky, dyed blonde hair.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's all I know about that person.
The end.
Actually, he's the other chef with blonde hair, because the other one... Anyways. Okay, so this movie stars Guy Pearce. It's based... Okay, so it's directed by a guy named Simon Wells, who is still, like, a story artist director guy. He was involved in Flushed Away, Kung Fu Panda 3, and the recent movie Smallfoot. So he's still very active in the story, like, animation. This is not an animated movie. It's a live-action film.
But he sure likes the odd ones.
Yes. He does. Simon Wells. Here's the thing. This is an adaption of a short story named, not that short, but it's called The Time Machine by H.G. Wells that was released in 1895.
Yes.
This is the director's great-grandfather.
Really?
Yes!
That's cool.
I was so in awe of it. Aww. And they do, and I think they there are differences between the stories. It's definitely an adaptation. It's not a spot on thing, but I think H.G. Wells would be proud because
that's awesome.
It definitely engages the, like, this is a science fiction film.
Yeah.
And it's also a film that makes you think. And also super cheesy. And also, so one of the reasons I love it is because it takes itself seriously, Ruth.
Yeah.
I love satire. I am a big fan of satire, but I think my soul appreciates the lack of cheese. No. My soul appreciates it when things take themselves seriously. And this is like the epitome. This is so easily mockable, okay? This film could easily have been just... Today it could have been just eviscerated, I think. There should be memes from this movie. Currently, people should go back and find stills of random things in this film and make memes. Because they're just so great. There's just so many great just visuals. When you're like, how did we get here? What is happening? Right?
Where are we going? But
that's not the point of the movie. It is a sincere film.
Now you're sounding like our father.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Think of its ultimate end.
Also, there are major Avatar, the Blue People movie moments.
What?
I don't even know.
What do you mean by that?
So there are scenes where you think, I think this inspired James Cameron.
Really?
Yeah.
Just from concerning.
The sound of the music, the aesthetic, the just general vibe.
Don't get me started on the music.
I know. Oh, I know. You, yeah, I know.
Sadness!
I am aware. The soundtrack actually was submitted for awards. But the movie generally has fallen off the radar insofar as it's not a super, like, it's not Batman Begins or anything, you know? It's not the Batman, Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
Well, no.
Yeah.
It's about a time machine.
Yeah. It's about a time machine, Ruthie. Okay.
Who would watch this?
Yeah. It's... Oh my goodness. I would watch it, Ruth. Especially, like, 12-year-old Rachel.
Okay.
Would love this movie. Okay. So much. She would... This is like Prince Caspian.
So maybe modern 6-year-olds?
What are you saying?
Well,
no, just kidding.
They're a little more hyper-exposed to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no. Okay. You have to be in a generous mood. Which a lot of people... And you gotta be a little chill. Because it is made in 2002. So the effects aren't like perfect, yeah. Right? But... it gave me nostalgia for a movie I never watched.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So it was engaging this part of myself that I think I shut it down sometimes, this part of myself that just,
aww.
I was so at ease. I was like, this is a movie that I love. Just sincerely. I sincerely enjoy this film.
Yeah.
And when I tell you what the is in this film, you're just going to be baffled, I think. I think you're going to be kind of weirded out. But I just... Yeah. This might be my resting place.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What was that? Alarming introduction.
Okay. Yeah. Any last things for the zero spoiler section to say?
Any last words?
Yeah. That's...
No,
nothing. Nothing else. Oh, it is. So it's a science fiction movie. I'm trying to think of other random genre things to say. It goes on your shelf next to The Rocketeer.
We never talk about anime or animated things.
We should though. I need to. I feel like
that was a side thing. I shouldn't have said that.
I know. In a different life. Well, we'll start bringing in animated shows. Actually, I've been thinking about making polls on Instagram and having people, like, contribute to what sort of movie.
I will vote.
Like, should it be a cowboy movie or a science fiction movie, animation or live action this week? And I'll, like, have options in mind, but they can pick. Cool. Anyway, stay tuned for that, folks. Okay, on to the minor spoiler section. The film is about a man who, he's a time traveler who... is searching for why he cannot change the past. true time.
Okay. Anything concrete to go off there? Like, how were people moving? Was there blue in the background?
No. There's a... It's like steampunk. Think steampunk.
Okay.
So the beginning is set in... I want to say, like, Victorian England, maybe?
Really? That's not where I expected
it. A little earlier than, like, C.S. Lewis, which is not Victorian England.
No, it is not.
Like, you know, the beginning of the car. When was the automobile invented?
Oh, I'm the wrong person to ask about anything dates.
Model T was in the early 1900s, so think maybe late 1800s, early 1900s era. People are wearing top hats and have buttons on their clothing and wear boots. And their ice skates are like things that you put on your shoes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Also super hazardous.
Yeah. It's really great. I love it. So the film is not devoid of tragedy. It's very intense. There were some moments when I actually was just shocked. And jumped with alarm. But it was good. It was good. So the movie is definitely, it's about, yeah, about a man starting in Victorian England. We're going to call that, no, what is that? early 1900s. And he is, so it's like when he invents the time machine, it's steampunky.
Steampunky,
then he pulls the classic, like, back in time to change something move.
No.
And then he pulls the not-so-classic, goes forward in time. And, he goes forward in time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, when we are going backward in time.
Well, what's so interesting is there aren't a lot of stories like this. That's what I find very interesting, Ruth. I'm getting really intense about this.
Yes, you are.
I don't know why. My tone changed and everything.
Like, really drastically.
But see, a lot of movies about time travel, we go back in time.
Yeah.
But this one goes forward in time. And not subtly. It's not a subtle forward in time, Ruth. Should we just go to the No. I have to be able to do this in the minor section.
What?
We go forward in time deeply.
You've said this.
I know. There might be a war in the future. There is a war. This is the minor spoiler section.
Okay.
There's a war that he gets involved in. Yep. There you go. In the future.
That was what you're holding back on?
I guess so.
Good. That's, any other...
riveting details.
There's
some interesting child performances.
This sounds really bad.
It's just
Rachel.
one child performance, and he does a fine job.
What do you think that means?
But actually, the child was
little
brother of one of the actresses. They were like brother and sister in the movie, and they were brother and sister in real life, which is really interesting. Yes, Ruth?
I don't think I like the medium spoiler section. Just because things are vague enough to be really concerning.
And the thing is, the reason the medium spoiler section is here is for the people who just want a little bit more than the bare minimum. Like, the nothing. You know? People who want just a little more context.
And then... Does it end well?
Yeah. Yeah, it ends really well.
Okay.
For Rachel, anyways. I don't know.
Gosh, what does that mean?
Some people might be discontented, but I found it ending really well.
That's actually really ominous for me.
I know. It was just so good.
You see how this doesn't help?
I know, because they don't know who I am. I'm so sorry, listener. I'm so sorry.
I hope they've learned a bit about you.
Is that it does end well. I'm just going to say that. Yeah. It has a good conclusion. You won't be...
Unless you're a fan of communism or something?
No. It's not like... there's definitely those movies that end... Like, there's one that came out recently called Extraordinary Woman. It's all the rage. A very exemplary woman.
Sorry.
Interesting woman. I can't remember. young woman, a very promising young woman. That's what it is.
Oh, and it ends it's, with the
it's really dramatic ending, and it's
darkness.
Yeah, it's very dark, and a lot of people didn't like it. It's not like that at all. it's much more like Star Wars Episode 6,
Mary Poppins.
No, yeah, actually, akin to Mary Poppins' ending.
Cool.
Yeah. Open doors, closed windows, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please, may we move on?
Yes, to the major spoilers!
Tell me everything!
Plot summary bonanza! Here we go!
Does this have anything to do with the show Bonanza?
No.
Okay, good.
Nothing to do with the show Bonanza.
The relief. You don't know. No. You just said.
The best part was that wasn't even the Bonanza theme song. That was Hawaii Five-O.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. So it opens in a school setting. Probably
building outside up a tree
inside
clock tower.
It's inside an old school, and by old school I mean like it looks kind of like a boarding school, but it's boys and girls.
So it's old school. Sorry.
Yeah, so boys and girls, and they're like running down the stairs because it's passing period, and you're looking from the perspective of somebody, and everyone's sort of avoiding them, and we find out that it's just this professor who goes and talks to another professor who's writing really big math problems on the board, and he's like, hey, buddy, you have that grapes? Thing. Nope.
I'm sorry.
How could you?
I feel like I've been apologizing a lot this episode.
How could you?
I'm in a happy mood and making connections.
Okay. Anyways. So he's like, don't you have that thing with Emma? And the professor's like, oh, I have that thing with Emma. Let's go, buddy. And so they go off to his flat. I mean, you're getting major. Have you ever watched Numbers?
The show?
Mm-hmm.
With the detective person?
Mm-hmm. The math guy?
I haven't.
I know. He's very beautiful mind vibes off of this guy. Very, you know, smart guy who does math and has trouble relating to other people kind of vibes.
Oh, with my friends?
Well, no, I'm just kidding.
Not all of my friends.
That is the general vibe from this guy. It's kind of Sherlock Holmesy kind of thing. And this is, you're like, oh, this is kind of like his Watson, you know? You know what I mean? Maybe? Anyways.
If Blake is Sherlock, am I Watson? According to this metric here that you've just laid out.
I don't know.
I think I broke you. I'm sorry.
I know. I was so sidetracked by that thought. Because...
Are we going to have to cut this bit out?
No, it's going to be fine. We're continuing. We're continuing. He even has a housekeeper. The really smart guy has a housekeeper. Like the housekeeper.
I love housekeepers.
In Sherlock Holmes, who's like, you know, looks after the flat and whatever, brings tea and things. Yeah. And meanwhile, the smart guy is complaining about, like, why everyone stopped pushing the boundaries, and all the professors are the same, and everybody wears bowler hats, and nobody, you know, is doing groundbreaking research.
I think things have changed.
Meanwhile, and we find out, like, he's writing letters to Einstein, and they're writing back and forth, and it's like a whole thing. The guy's name is Alex, by the way. So he goes off on his date. We figure out it's a date, and he's going on this date with this person named Emma. I had this moment where I was wondering if it was like, oh, his daughter. He's supposed to pick up his daughter.
Yeah, but I thought that.
I know, right? It gave you that vibe, but no, it's a date. So he goes, and he's meeting this lovely lady at the park to go ice skating.
Oh.
And she comes up the ice, and he's like, can you go for a little walk around the park? And they're like, yeah. And so, you know, he says, and then they have this really horrible dialogue.
I'm experiencing dread.
About romance. And he's like, I'm sick, and there's only one remedy, marrying you, Emma. And I just was, the alarms went off in my head, and I was like, Emma, you should run away. This is not the man for you. But apparently she was on the same page, so it's okay. She was so excited, and then he proposes, and she's like, let's get married. And she's like, yes! And he has this little, he got this ring with a little moonstone, because that's her, her birthstone. I went to look that up. I wonder what the moonstone is, what month that is. Anyway. And she's like, that sounds wonderful. And they're so happy. And then a man with a bowler hat comes out from behind the bushes and demands all their money and jewelry. And so he gives the wallet and the gloves, and she's already said yes. And then he's like, give me the ring. And she's like, no. And then they struggle. And in the struggle, the gun goes off and shoots her, and she dies. So that's sad.
I don't think you're supposed to laugh at that part.
No, that was me laughing. And people didn't hear the cat meow outside the door. When I finish, she dies. And then the cat goes, meow. Yeah, so that's sad. Cut to 4 years later. Alex is writing on the biggest blackboards I've ever seen in my life. He has these really intense calculations he's doing, and he's got a beard now. You can tell he's haggard.
Haggard.
And his bowler hat man friend, no, the other friend, who his friend from earlier, has like a mustache and a bowler hat, right? And he comes up and he's like, hey, I'm worried about you. You haven't spoken to me. And I just want you to know that, you know, I'm trying to reach out here, man. Reach back. And he's like, no, I won't do it yet. Come back in a week. And he's like, what? And he's like, come back in a week. And then the smart guy is like, he leaves and he's like, okay, I'm coming back in a week. And the smart guy is like, though, in a week, we'll never have had this conversation. And you're like, what? It should be noted, they did have another really bizarre conversation. They had a lot of conversations early on. And one of them was like, when will we know we've gone too far in science? And it's like this whole like, something's going to happen.
What you doing, guys?
So then he takes out his pocket watch and he picks one. He's got a whole bunch of pocket watches and he takes out a picture of Emma. And then he goes and he pulls back a curtain and there's this time machine.
Of course.
And this actual like set equipment apparently was one of the most expensive pieces of set ever made at the time.
Oh,
like in action on like the studio.
Yeah.
And it looked really cool. So what happens is you sit in a seat and it looks kind of like a wire dumbbell on the top and the bottom.
Okay.
And then somehow there's a circling thing, so it makes like a sphere, like a force field around you. So Imagine you've got a spinning force field, like Violet in The Incredibles.
Yeah.
With a steampunk seat in the middle.
Okay.
That's what we're envisioning as a time machine. So he goes in and he goes back in time. And so it's interesting because everything outside the bubble changes actively.
Really?
Yes. So as you're watching, it like adjusts. That's
different.
Right. So he goes back in time to the night of Emma's murder. And he, shows up early to the date.
Really?
And he, says, no, come with me. We're not going to go to the park. So he takes her into the city and he's like, I want you just to go home. I love you so much. I want you just to go home and not think about I'm going to show up later. I'm going to be upset that you weren't there, but I just want you to go home. It's all going to be fine. And she's like, oh, okay, I suppose. And it's a very dramatic and complicated conversation. He persuades her and she's like, but you didn't buy me my flowers. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll do it. I would love to, because I love you so much. Because he was supposed to buy her flowers. It's a whole thing. So he goes to buy her flowers. And then, there's a accident and she gets run over by a carriage. It was really hard to tell. She dies again. It's really sad. And he then ends up at the hospital. She's passed away and his friend shows up because he still exists. He shows up and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry about your loss. And he's like, why did this happen again? And he's like, what is going on? And he's like, it's not supposed to happen this way. And here's where I did look at there were some comments about this particular, people were a bit confused about the movie, but here's the thing. It's because he doesn't do the classic goes back in time 1,000 times.
Uh-huh.
He just says, I could have gone back 1,000 times and I'll see her die 1,000 ways. So he's already making the assumption that he can't change the past.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he's like, I can't find the answers here. Or now.
And that's a warning sign.
So he goes back to his time machine and then sets it to future. And this is the CGI magic right here. It like, everything, it's like time lapse. Really amazing time lapse. All the way to 2030.
That is distressingly close.
Well, yes. And what's so interesting is it's not, you know, it's not our age because there's a colony on the moon. It like zooms, the way it does it so well. Although a part of me was like, because the time machine doesn't move place.
Right.
It's just happening.
Uh-huh.
And things are happening around it. Someone could have built a building on this time machine.
That's true.
But no one did. So that's nice.
Maybe it no longer appears. It's as itself.
Mm. Maybe.
It's not, like, material in the same way. Theoretically.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
It's a really good counter-argument. So, yeah, the time machine, it stays in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. But it goes to 2030.
Mm-hmm.
There's a colony on the moon. We see it as, like, it zooms out.
Yeah.
And we see the colony on the moon. It comes back and it stops. And he gets off and he's dressed in his, like, you know, clothes for the time period or whatever. And he sees a sign across. He's like in an alley and he comes out of the alley and the sign across the street is like, the Lunar Leisure Living is coming. Book your spot now and
just replace that come with Mars
to the Leisure Lunar Living thing. And then this lady runs up and is like, "Nice suit, very retro." And he's like, and then she looks at the time machine and she's like, "I bet that makes one heck of a cappuccino."
Oh.
You know, it should be noted. I'm gonna say this because I did think about this when I saw it. I realized. What is least accurate about the depictions of the future in the past?
Uh-huh.
Like, what is most not like our present age? Because they actually do a pretty good job in this movie of getting the effect of 2030. Like, it was plausible, except the skyscrapers. There were so many beautiful, tall, slim-edged skyscrapers. And I went to New York recently, not recently, but I've been to New York and it just doesn't have that vibe.
No.
And it's really interesting. Yeah. And I have a friend who's in Paris and I saw some videos of that. And that is probably closest, but it was really weird. Anyways. So, he walks to a museum. And he meets... Oh my gosh. Yes. So he meets a man. There's a central processing unit in the museum that is this AI that you can talk to.
Uh-huh.
And the AI appears on these glass sheets.
Okay.
That are all lined up in a row.
Yeah.
And he goes and he talks to one. He's confused, right?
Yes.
But he figures it out that, you know, you talk to it. And so he asks, "Why can't one change the past?"
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he asks.
He asks that's why. Cool. Yes. And that's why he's here. He goes to the future because he thinks in the future they'll be able to understand why you can't change the past. And the guy in the, you know, the intelligence is like, because one can't go to the past. And then he says, "But what about time travel?" And then he says, "Oh, time travel." And he starts pulling up all these science fiction things. And he's like, "No, real tangible time travel." And he says, "That's not a thing," or whatever. He's like, "I guess I'm too early." So he goes back to the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in there. And he goes forward. And just that little bit more forward. Then there's like an explosion outside of his time machine that sort of rocks things.
Oh.
And he turns it off. And we're only in 2037. So we've only 7 years later, and the place that was once like a bustling city road is now a war zone.
Oh.
And you look up, and the moon has been demolished, like stretched out across the sky, and it's chaos, and people actually do show up and like try to arrest him because he doesn't have a pass or whatever, and he says, "What happened?" And they were like, "We drilled into the moon too far." And then it exploded. And it's bad. And now there's war zones or something. It's complicated. And he's like, "Oh, no. How could this? What's happening?" And what, ultimately, there's an explosion somewhere else. And there's chaos. And he winds up getting shoved back towards this time machine. He gets in, but something like hits him and he gets knocked out.
Oh.
And he falls forward.
That's bad.
And he passes out as the machine is going in the future. And this, Ruth, is new territory, time travel-wise. I've never seen a movie do this before. Uh-huh. It travels to, what is this number? 802,701. That's the year it travels to.
8,000?
802,000.
Okay.
701. So that's 802,701.
Okay.
And as it's going so far in the future, you see, because it's got its little bubble thing,
yeah,
the geography changes. The very geography of the land morphs into different geography. Yeah. There's, like, desert, forest, a glacier melting, canyon forming. Like, is this wild, yeah, wild depiction of the future geography change. And he eventually wakes up enough to stop the lever at that date, that year. Oh. He wakes up and his, well, we see that some people take him and his wounds are being nursed.
Really?
Uh-huh. And he wakes up and there's these people, speaking in a language he doesn't understand. And, but he wakes up, uh-huh, and this young boy leads him through and he walks up onto this, like, beautiful, canyon, and this music plays that's very much like the music from Avatar. Okay. That's like da 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 da.
Okay,
you know, like that kind of music.
Uh-huh.
And that's also the culture in this movie. Uh-huh. Resembles the culture in the other, in Avatar, the blue people as well.
I get it. Okay,
so yes, it's that sort of, that kind of parallel. Yeah. So it's sort of like Enya music is playing as he sees the open. And this tone has not existed in the whole movie up until this point. Okay, this is an entirely different tone. And the boy shouts something out over the canyon and people start coming and showing up. And then it turns out one of the ladies in the group speaks his language. They call it the language of the stone. Nobody else speaks it. And she says, people, everyone learns it when they're a child. And then they all just forget, apparently.
That happens.
You know, I think it might be like schoolboy Latin.
Yeah.
You know? Or like elementary Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, all sort of, you know. But by the language of the stone, we find out that this used to be New York. And there's literally stones from New York with the words on them.
Oh.
That they read in this interesting, like, chamber that they've built out of these stones.
That's actually really cool.
Isn't that really cool? So, the prof who, you know, the Alex says he's a New Yorker, and they have this little chat, and, okay. This is just a totally different movie at this point, because, everyone in the village gets these dreams that take place in the jungle, and there's like you see it from first person perspective, and you come up to this like statue with teeth that's gonna eat people.
Uh-huh.
And he gets this dream, and so does the little boy, and it's, uh-huh, just a child's dream. Meanwhile, the next day they are going to work, and they're doing some sort of farming thing, and she takes him back to his time machine, and she's like, you have to go back and take my brother, whose name I've written, Kaelin. Yes, that's his name. Take Kaelin and go back. And he says, why, what's happening? And then they hear a trumpet in the distance. And so they run back. And, well, she runs back and he follows her. And out of the ground come these, like, muscular golem figures.
Okay.
And their faces, this is not animated. These are people.
Yeah.
In suits with animatronic faces, Ruth. It's so horrifying. They did such a good job. They're like these muscular golem people who hunt the other people with like blow darts. Like, and they think that they're poison darts, but I don't think they are. I think they're just darts.
Okay.
In the scuffle, they get the girl. And then they save the boy. We find out it's complicated, because then the he's the guy in charge, not the guy in charge, Alex is like, well, you have to save the girl, and the guy in charge of the people who live there says, no, oh, it should be noted there's nobody, like, over the age of 22.
Oh.
Apparently, or maybe over the age of 25. It's only young people. And he's like, where are the old people? And he's like, we don't talk about that. They've all been taken by these golem things, apparently. They aren't called golems. They have a specific name. Again, I'll probably figure that out later. Find it in my notes later. So they take him back. He's talking to the boy and he says, what should we do? I need to go. And he says, well, everybody knows there's the place with the ghosts are. Everybody knows where that is. So he takes him to this place with the ghosts, which turns out to be the old museum where the library thing is still there.
Yeah.
With all the mirrors. And there's a mirror left that he can talk to. And they have a really great heart to heart. Really good. And
the AI?
Yeah. And he explains all this stuff. He explains what he knows because there was some guy who got away and just talked to him the whole time for a while. He lived and his skeleton is in the corner because I think that's him. I think he died there. It's really tragic. But what has happened is there are two races of people, one that lives above the ground and one that lives under the ground.
No kidding.
And you have to go to the jungle to find out more. That's all he can say. And he says, follow the sounds. Two races of people, Ruth. It's fascinating. And there's this war going on between them. Ultimately, he goes down through a series of adventures. He winds up getting thrown into this sort of prison thing, which turns out to be like the head henchman is down there, and he looks like a dark elf from Marvel. I got major Silver Chair, Narnia reference again. Ooh. Silver Chair vibes, but it's like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Bad dark elf guy under the ground who controls everything, and it's apparently the human race started splitting off, and so they had to go underground. And he's the people who developed the, like, intellectual capacity. And then he controls the people with the muscles who are the golem things that come up and grab the people from the top who are, like...
So there's actually three.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's really intense. And he says they keep some people for breeding vessels, of course. And that's, of course, the girl who was stolen.
Concerning.
It's very concerning. Yeah. And the professor's like, dude, this is unhuman. You've got to stop eating the people on top because they are being eaten, Ruth. It's horrifying. You see all the skeletons and bones and clothing and you're just like, oh my gosh, they're being eaten. It's bad.
This took a really different turn.
It did. Such a different turn. And he's like, you can't just do that. And then the brain guy uses his brain powers to give an illusion to the professor of his life if the girl hadn't died earlier in the movie. And he's so happy. And he says, but how could you use the machine motivated by her death to correct her death? Because you were motivated to make this machine by her death. So the machine would never have been made if she hadn't have died.
Oh.
And that's why he can't save her.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. Isn't that wild? I wasn't expecting an answer.
I feel like that explains a lot.
Yeah. So that's his answer. He's the smart guy, right? And the bad guy's like...
That's really cool.
And so this is inescapable. And you have to... Now go. Go away, he says. And, you know, the bad guy, it's like... He has this watch, and the watch of the professor, because he still had a watch, and he was like, we all have our time machines, those things that take us back, those things that take us forward.
Whoa.
And he does go forward at some point, and he sees the future if these people take over, and, like, all the trees are gone, and all the people are gone, and there's just these weird golem things, and it's barren and weird, and he goes back, and he keeps having this conversation with this guy, and he's like, you've forgotten one thing. What if? And they have this fight in this bubble, and he breaks they're fighting, they're in the time machine fighting. And at one point, he gets the bad guy outside of the time machine and then turns it on and ages him outside the machine.
Uh-huh.
So he's, like, holding onto his arm as he's, like, outside the bubble and he dies. They've gone forward in history. And I forgot. So, yeah, I jumped the gun. At this point, he's forward in history to what is this number? 36. It's like 635,427,810. That's the year.
Okay.
And that's the wasteland. And he sees the forest is gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, this is bad. So then he goes back in time, saves the girl, sabotages the time machine, and runs out. This time machine blows up, and it, like, creates this aging blast that he and the girl and the other people who live there barely escape, but the blast goes through the whole underground network, and basically it ages everything into nothingness. Like, kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark when they open the thing and people melt.
Okay.
It's kind of like that, but with aging instead of melting.
Okay.
And, so the good guys escape, and, the time machine's been destroyed, so he can't go back. Meanwhile, you see in the future that he's taken the tech thing from the museum back in out of its hole to teach people in the Hall of Words, because it remembers everything.
Yeah.
It was miserable. now it's happy teaching people in the Hall of Words. And he, the professor, and the girl, and the boy go back to the place where his apartment was, and they're, like, talking, and he's explaining stuff, and, you know, he's like, this is where I was. And then you flash back to the time he disappeared from. Mm-hmm. And the old guy, not the old guy, his friend with the mustache shows up. It has shown up a week later, and he's like, wow, he's gone. And the landlady's like, yeah, I don't know where he went. It's weird. and he says, I'm glad he's gone. Maybe he can find somewhere he can be happy. And he's gone. And then his friend hires the landlady to be his landlady. Until he shows up again, feel free to work for us. So he does, and as you're staying in the lab, and it's kind of confusing, right? Because all the stuff's closing up, and you're like, all these ends are tied, and then you see out the window his old friend with the mustache again take off his bowler hat and throw it away, because he was inspired by this man who went off to go find. It's just, and that's where it ends, Ruth.
Wow. The end?
The end. So. I found it. There are some weird things insofar as he goes back and changes the past by destroying that race of golem things so that the wasteland doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's
and he can't now, but he couldn't do that with his wife somehow, so that's a little weird, but I don't know. What if, man, he's got this hope that he holds on to for good things, and it's kind of inspirational, and yeah.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. Name a couple.
No.
What?
They're just in my head.
Oh, like, okay.
No.
No thoughts?
Maybe I'll write something.
No. What are you?
Confused.
Any thoughts?
Mostly confused.
Oh, about?
I feel like I zoned out briefly at the end.
Oh, sister.
I can make that sound for a while.
Oh, that's great. Would you watch the movie?
No.
No. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I could see a lot of people not watching it.
I mean, as a kid, totally, because Rachel pitched it out for the library and we want to watch TV.
That's right. It's true.
It's the best.
Okay. What did you think of the time travel to the future idea?
I think that was neat and good. It kind of makes me think of Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yes. Yeah. Why?
I'm not sure why. Like, just the way you describe things, like the scenery. And also, like, different place, but, like, coming back. And
it kind of, you've got that vibe of being in the old times and then going to the jungle.
Yeah.
And the jungle is always the same age, it feels like, in whatever movie you're watching. It's weird for there to be old jungles or new jungles.
Wouldn't be a jungle.
Yeah. And then, what did you think of the twist between the two... going from the old to the new. Did you like that?
I think that was a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a favorite character?
No. It might be the little computer screen.
He's nice. It was kind of like Jarvis, actually. You know, full of information. Yeah.
Full of it.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. You now don't have to wonder what this movie is about. The time machine from 2002 has been fully elucidated. I hope you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that.
Hopefully we'll be back next week on Friday, although this one will be posted today, which is Saturday. Yeah, so next Friday hopefully we'll have another one to release on time. But thank you so much for listening to us, and you can follow us on Instagram at Lost in Theaters, and technically Twitter. That's okay, you can do that too. Twitter. Yeah. And it's great.
Have a happy new year.
What month is it? February?
I think it's February.
Have a happy snow day. February. All right. Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.